In the earlier stages in particular, do everything you can to get at least 4 major moments throughout the year. The thing I want you to notice is that in all of these moments, you get a giant revenue spike. And what you start to realize over enough time is that that giant revenue spike is actually something that you can harness and repeat yourself. It doesn't happen to you, you create it. I rarely talk about the thing that probably has the largest impact on your revenue of anything that you're doing. And that thing is the marketing calendar, some of which you do not control, like the seasonal calendar, Father's Day, Mother's Day, holiday, etc. Others of it that you do have control over, like product development, product releases, sales, etc. Today on the Andrew Ferris podcast, I'm going to get into why you should be paying more attention to the marketing calendar that is actually at the core of driving revenue for your business. Let's jump in right now. So Taylor Holiday has a thing called Four Peaks Theory. If you've followed Taylor's content for a little while, you've seen him reference this. And the basic idea is that there are 4 peaks in your calendar that can work throughout your whole year. It's a really helpful framework as a way of thinking about what is going to drive revenue in different moments. And he talks about it a lot. And I'll have some more to say about 4 peaks theory specifically in a little bit. But the thing that I really like about that is that in the midst of a lot of other content from Taylor, from CTC, from smart person like him, right, about how to optimize all these little things in your business and financially plan your business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things that he has really clued into over the last, I don't know, couple of years or whatever in his content has been that the marketing calendar is actually the thing that is driving huge amounts of the value that you create in your D2C business. And so Four Peaks Theory is one part of that. But if you listen to any of his other content, you'll see there's actually a lot more to it than that. And so today, like the basic point that I want to get to today in this episode is just that. That is right, that the maybe most important revenue things that can happen, revenue movers that can happen in your business are actually not really in the ad account. The ad account is supplemental to and helps serve those things. And actually, and here I'm talking about revenue, right? Because profitability is sort of a different question in this consideration of the marketing calendar. It's a really important consideration, but it's slightly different than what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking really of growth. I frame that poorly. I mean, it's about profitable growth still. It still is about profitable growth. But what I'm thinking here is of like, what is it that really moves the needle in major ways and that you see giant spikes in your revenue? And the answer to that is often the marketing calendar. So sometimes what happens is it's like an ad hits or whatever, but also sometimes it's not that at all. It's things that you have absolutely no control over. And so I want to give you a framework for thinking about this issue and begin to get your head around where your business is at right now and what the implication of that is for how you should be thinking about the marketing calendar in your business, okay? Because what I think is missing from some considerations, in some ways, including Taylor's Four Peaks Theory, but I'm kind of beside the point. Different businesses of different sizes are going to approach this issue differently. So if you think about this, right, just the baseline consideration here is that when you launch a new product, when you have seasonal tailwinds or headwinds, and when you have a sale, those 3 things, in some way or another, have a massive impact on the amount of revenue you can drive in your business, okay? So let me just go through each of those first, okay? So new product release, I actually want to put that at the end. Let's talk about seasonality first. So seasonality is this incredible driver that, and one of the things I've been saying to clients recently is that basically seasonality is an unfightable impact on your revenue. Many businesses try in some ways to fight this, and unfightable is actually probably overstated. There are some ways to fight it, but seasonality just has this huge, huge effect. An example that I always think of here is that when I ran FC Goods, which I've talked about a lot of times, right? FC Goods just is wallets made out of baseball gloves. It just is a great Father's Day product and a great holiday product. And so for 2 different 30-day periods a year, there was a huge amount of revenue that was going to come no matter what sale I ran, no matter what product released, no matter what else. It was just going to be the case that we were going to generate large, large portions of our revenue in those moments. And because it was a wallet made out of a baseball glove, Mother's Day was not like that. If anything, there were probably headwinds for us from Mother's Day because we probably couldn't compete with all of the Mother's Day brands, which is a major gifting moment for people, couldn't compete with all those brands in the auction for the same clicks because it was probably a negative seasonal moment. And you can think of this in all kinds of different categories, right? If you're selling sunscreen, you know, summer's going to be much bigger than winter for you. I don't even need to go down the list. You get the idea. What I think many people don't realize is that there's a seasonality factor that is larger than you think at many points of your business. So apparel is probably the place where this is most obvious to me, where there are apparel brands that, you know, obviously, again, if it's swimwear, you know, it's going to be a summer peak, right? But other brands may not even realize, for as much as they're aware of seasonality, like imagine if you're selling like leggings or something like that, you probably are sort of thinking of that seasonally, but I bet you the seasonal movements, the seasonal impact on your ability to sell leggings are more significant than you are realizing if you haven't really gone down this road a few times. So I'm not even going to try and do too many specific examples because every business is so different in this respect, but just note that seasonal tailwinds and seasonal headwinds are essentially part of what should form your marketing calendar and are having a huge impact on your ability to drive revenue at scale in your business. Okay, so there's one. Number two, sales, promotions in a traditional sense, large ones, small ones, whatever. You and I both know that sales can make a huge, gigantic, ridiculous impact on your business. You run a sale at a certain time and you are going to see a whole bunch of revenue be driven that was not there before. This is specifically for brands that are newer, younger, whatever, maybe haven't gone down this route a few times before, haven't gone down this route too many times before, you will see you launch a sale if you haven't run one before, if you haven't run one very often, and you'll have this huge spike in revenue, especially if it's like a pretty good offer that just otherwise you don't know about. I don't need to tell you that sales work. They work. Of course they do. The one thing I'll say here is that I think most brands can run sales and some brands are a little too precious about never discounting. Okay. Major higher end fashion retailers run sales, right? You can do it. Okay. So, and then number three, product releases. And so product releases are a huge part of this as well, where new products have this ability to take fans of yours, people who love your business already, and if they like your brand and if the product makes any sense, can generate a whole bunch of returning customer revenue in your business when you launch the new product. They'll probably generate some spike in new customer revenue as well, people who were floating around your list, but you didn't have a great reason to talk to them, or they hadn't quite found the thing they like from you, but you released a new product and now they love that. Again, think of apparel here, like they're interested in your brand, but then they just don't quite have the piece, or you don't quite have the piece they're looking for. Launch a new product and then suddenly it works, okay? But crucially, no matter what happens at the moment of launch, new products also give you new fodder for your ad account, for your influencer business, any of those things, you know, whatever you're using to promote your business, organic content, TikTok, whatever. And now you can supply those channels with new fuel, basically, to acquire new customers. And so maybe the new customer impact on launch of a new product is relatively small, but the new product impact on new customer revenue after launch, as you start promoting more, can be really, really massive and really important because it can be something that really takes off. Every new product you launch is new creative for your ad account by definition. And so you can build new creative around that and see how that goes. Okay, so those three kind of basic categories, right? Seasonality, sales promotions, and new products, okay? But here's really what I want you to think about. You will notice on these moments that there is a giant spike in your revenue because of one or, in some cases, all three of these things. Really smart brands will actually try to align these. You take the tailwinds of seasonality, you run a sale, and you launch new products in ways that capitalize on that. You probably do new products and sales slightly differently, right? So you launch new products week one, and then 2 weeks later, maybe you do a sale off some products that that are... maybe you have too much of or whatever, you know, there's all kinds of reasons to do it, but you can really capture tailwinds significantly if you can combine up seasonality with one of the two of these other ones, right? If you wanted to try and combine sale and new product, typically the way to do that is with pre-order, where you give people a discount for buying in advance, you help your cash conversion cycle, etc. Incredibly cool opportunity coming up with my friends at More Staffing that I want to tell you about. You've heard me talk about More Staffing, amazing staffing agency in the Philippines to help connect you with amazing e-commerce talent in the Philippines. But one of the concerns that many people have about working with overseas talent in general is managing a remote team, dealing with the challenges of, you know, language and time zone, and how do you really incorporate them into your actual team. And so I was talking to More Staffing about that, and they are putting together a webinar, really cool opportunity, totally free. The webinar is going to be called Managing an International Remote Team in the E-commerce World, the massive advantages and the serious pitfalls. It's going to be co-run by two people. One of them is Lara Guevara, the CEO of More Staffing, who you've heard me interview on this show before, but it will also include Greg Carey, the co-founder of More Staffing, founder of it with Lara, who has managed in his US business a team in the Philippines of like, I think 20 some odd employees at times. So he's gone really deep, like executive talent in the Philippines for his US-based business e-commerce talent. And they're going to talk all about, all the upside and how to avoid the pitfalls. It's going to be really, really good. It's going to be on April 25th, Thursday, April 25th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time in the U.S. Don't miss that. If you've heard me talk about More Staffing and you've thought I'm interested in this, but have wondered about like how to actually do it really well, this is going to be a great opportunity for you to get a little bit deeper. So go check that out. The link for it is in the show notes of this show, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening somewhere, whatever. The link is in the show notes to go get ready to put that on your calendar. Don't miss the opportunity to think about how to manage a remote team with Lara Guevara and Greg Carey from More Staffing. It will be really, really helpful. The thing I want you to notice is that in all of these moments, you get a giant revenue spike. And what you start to realize over enough time is that that giant revenue spike is actually something that you can harness and repeat yourself. It doesn't happen to you. You create it. Okay. So you create the revenue spike by being smart about your marketing calendar relative to all of your other efforts. And this can do something significant, which is that, you know, you launch a new product and if it goes great, maybe you 4X your sales over the, you know, course of the couple of days of the product launch because it's a hit and people really like it. And so suddenly you get this giant spike in your revenue and that's awesome. Or you run a sale and for 4 or 5 days or however long you run the sale, your revenue goes crazy and you're not spending nearly as many ad dollars to generate that revenue as you would at other times. And I say that because what happens very often for smaller brands is that they are hammering away at all of these evergreen kind of things to make their business better. They're split testing this and that, and they're trying to get, you know, send more emails, and they're trying to make their email capture better, and they're launching new ads, and they're running new offers, and all of these things. And all of the goal here is to try and get it so that your ad spend goes from 50 grand a month to 60 grand a month, or from 60 to 100 or whatever. And those things all matter and they can all help a lot. But what can happen sometimes is that brands can exist as if that's the only way to grow the brand, all of these evergreen efforts, instead of I'm going to plan my spend and my other efforts in concert with these marketing calendar efforts as well. And there's a reason that those two go against each other. One of them is sometimes, like I said, it sort of feels like marketing calendar is like the special add-on to an evergreen brand. You know, your brand is mostly the things that you do most days because that's what eats up most of your time. You know, it's 25 days a month or whatever. This is what you're doing. And then occasionally you mix in a sale. As opposed to, you actually plan all the things you're doing around the fact that this revenue spike is yours to be harnessed and you can plan as many of them as you want. So that's part of it. It just sort of feels like it's a tack on additional part of your business to mess with the marketing calendar, right? To go engage with the marketing calendar in these unique ways. But secondly, it's also because the marketing calendar is a ton of work. It's like if you're going to run a sale, if you're going to launch it, I mean, launching a new product, especially, right, requires the product development end of things. You have to shoot it. You have to build PDPs. You have to do all of this different stuff to make, to bring new products to market. And so it's just this huge job for what sometimes feels like a very small spike. And that can feel like that for a sale too. You need all kinds of new graphics. You got to change over the website. You got to launch new ads that are just sales specific and build emails and SMS just for this thing that's only going to last a few days. So is it really worth doing, right? And this is fundamentally why brands at earlier stages have a really hard time with the kind of advice that I'm giving in this episode, which is attack the marketing calendar. And this brings me back to Four Peaks Theory. Here is the main suggestion I want to give you about how to think about marketing calendar moments in the life cycle of your brand and in the growth stage of your brand, okay? Basically, what I want you to think about is that Taylor's idea of Four Peaks Theory, and I've linked it in the show notes, is the place to start, in particular, in your marketing calendar. It may be true for the entirety of your business in the sense that there may be four peaks that are larger than any other peak you ever have, no matter what you do. In the earlier stages in particular, do everything you can to get at least four major moments throughout the year. Those could be holiday, they could be sales, they could be new products, whatever it is. But if you're, you know, sub a couple million dollars in revenue, no matter what else you're doing, make sure that you generate four major moments in your calendar, obviously aided as much as possible by seasonal tailwinds. Okay. So as much as you can, capture the seasonality tailwinds that you have in those moments and generate four big moments. Okay. That I think is a great starting place for your business. But over time, I want you to think about how can you, as your business grows, not just hammer away at the out account, not just try to make it so that your email and SMS get better and your email capture gets better and whatever, and not just that you add on Google Ads if it wasn't working before. Those things can all be a good use of your time. But as your business grows, as you add team members, as the capacity to output more product and more sales and things like that grows, take the resources that you have in a growing business and apply it to adding more peaks. Consider doing that for your business. For some businesses, this won't make much sense, but consider trying to add more peaks as you go. Okay. So I'm working with an apparel business right now that's sub 5 million in revenue, right around 5 million in revenue, probably going to do right around 5 million in revenue this year. I look at that business and I say, how can we get to 6 to 8 peaks this year? And by peaks, I just really mean promotional moments. Okay. Something like that. Right. But when they get to 10, when they get to 15, when they get to 20, when that happens, like at that point, I'm going to expect that 6 to 8 to turn into 8 to 10, to 10 to 12, et cetera, to create more and more moments. And that could be, it's an apparel brand. It could be large, major product releases for different seasonal moments, and then smaller middle tier ones for different seasonal moments. And you could be mixing in sales more often, and you could be mixing in, you know, maybe there's an end of season sale here, and maybe there's a middle of the peak season sale. And so, I mean, you could just add these things up along with Black Friday and Cyber Monday, right? Maybe there's Mother's Day or a Father's Day moment, like who knows, depends on the brand, all those things. But you start to layer those things on until you get to a point where one brand I consulted with, when they started realizing this dynamic in their business, they said, you know, Andrew, one of the ways that we've grown over the last few years is that we now release product every 2 weeks on payday. And by payday, they just mean the most common payday in the US. And so that we time our product release to the days when people have the most expendable income, and maybe they want to go buy something nice for themselves, they just got paid. And so that's what we do. And that has massively fueled our growth. And we've built our entire operational process around doing that really well. This brand did that. And then, by the way, this brand never ran sales. And so that brand they grew a lot by making that the core of their promotional calendar or their marketing calendar without even doing promotions per se. And that, yeah, I think is like exactly what the way to think about this is. Your business may be different than that business in that respect. And they were doing that on their way to $50 million in revenue or something like that, right? So they had a larger team. They could execute these kinds of things more often, but they could do that. And it really worked. New product constantly fueled this. And the thing I always point out is that, like I said earlier, the thing about new product is it gives you a moment like, you know, on payday, like it was for these brands. But at the same time, it also gave this brand new fuel for the ad account. And so they were able to take that new product they were releasing and turn that into something that generated more evergreen revenue and grew their ad account along with it, because now they had new, more fuel for the fire and more attempts, or maybe the better analogy, there'd be more logs to throw on the fire to make the fire bigger, right? Because they just kept adding the logs of new product. Okay. And so beginning to think that way, as they scaled up their organization, they were thinking about how do we build the organization to support this as the growth strategy. The growth strategy based on the marketing calendar was driving them. The organization and the process was built to serve that growth strategy built around the marketing calendar. And that's the right way to think about this. Another time I saw this was actually way back in my days at Kalo. When I was at Kalo, silicone wedding ring maker, like if you're watching this, right, this is a Kalo ring. When I was there, which is where I cut my teeth in e-commerce, I noticed that they would release new product and it would go really well. There'd be this big spike in revenue. And so at some point, somebody looked around, somebody else was probably Taylor, who was there as well. And he said, somebody said, we got to release new product more often. And so we did. And now look, it didn't mean that every product release was gigantic. At some point, there's only so many silicone wedding rings, et cetera. But they did, nonetheless, they were able to generate along the way peak moments with simple color variations and style variations and those kinds of things. And so, at some, and you know, I remember thinking at the time, wait a minute, can you just manufacture revenue like this? Just like make a new color and just release it and it works? And the answer was, nah, not every release is as big as every other release, but yes, you could. And you can think that way in your business. This is so obvious in one respect, but I think when you're in the day-to-day and in the grind of an e-commerce business, that actually you can lose sight of how much this can really, really matter. And what I really think it comes down to is like I said, sort of the planning and the strategy element of it. And so here's what I would give you if you want a place to start. If you could get yourself to, and you'd have to ladder to this, one product release and one promotion every month, that would get you really, really far. And that is maybe more manageable than, you know, product releases every 2 weeks on payday, right? Now, it might not be. That's still, and the promotion doesn't have to be huge, by the way. Some bigger, some smaller. Same with product releases. Some bigger, some smaller, etc. And for a lot of brands, you're not there yet. I get that. Executing those things really well is important as well. And actually, it's worth noting that in a few weeks, I'm going to record an episode of Opening the Books where I'm going to coach somebody through a product release. So if you feel like you're not very good at executing the product release, make sure to subscribe to this podcast, because very soon I'm going to have an episode where I talk through exactly how a brand ought to do a major product release. So there's a whole execution component of this as well. You put that all together though, you start running promotions and you start running product releases really well, fueled by seasonality and fueled by the ad account, fueled by good email and SMS, you have the core of a business that can get pretty big pretty fast. That is a $20+ million e-commerce business, maybe a $50 million e-commerce business, basically done by doing those things really well and then building the rest of all of your growth strategy, all the tactics, all the forecasting, all the financial planning, all the ad strategy, all the measurement, all those things around how do you spend during those moments? How do you spend between those moments? How do you capture value in those moments? How do you make sure to do a great job on each of these channels in those moments and between those moments? How do you make sure that your email list is segmented well? All of those different elements of the tactics can support that growth strategy. And in time, what you also do is give reasons for your customers to care, pay attention, give attention to your brand because you're releasing cool stuff, you're giving them offers, and you're making it possible for them to engage with your brand in a regular, consistent way that provides real value to them and provides value back to you as you grow. So that's the way that I would think about this. If you are not giving serious time to your marketing calendar, if you're not thinking about stages of your business, again, don't kill yourself here. If you're sub $1 million, you do not need 12 product releases a year and 12 promotions a year, like I just suggested, right? But to begin to think about how your marketing calendar is developing, how you can use and create genuine moments in your brand for your customer to care about, it will provide huge spikes in revenue, a bunch more fuel for your advertising fire, and a bunch more profit and growth in your business. Thanks so much for watching, for listening again today. Huge shout out to my sponsors. That is More Staffing. Virtual assistants can be helpful. Virtual professionals can change your business. Also to my sponsor, Billy, newer sponsor on this show. Go get Billy. Go to billy.ai to go get Billy on your website. It is seriously a no-brainer for anybody running meta ads. It will help you get better data quality from the activity that's happening on your store back to Meta for better growth, better customer matching, etc. Okay, so go do both of those things. Make sure to subscribe. Why? Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, subscribe to this. Like I said in the show, I've got an episode coming up that'll be a great complement to this, another Opening the Books where I coach somebody through a product launch. That's going to be great. So definitely go check that out or go subscribe wherever you are. And of course, you can reach out to me by emailing me, Andrew@AJFGrowth.com.